We've got two ideas that we are going to discuss. This episode and the next episode, and there's a certain connection between the two, but this is a great introduction. We're going to talk about the mitzvah of allowing workers to eat while they're working on your field. Now, we have this in this commandment, this mitzvah, this expression of love, and you can understand why. On a very basic level, you understand that when a person's engaging in labor on a certain product, on a certain item, and he's hungry, to not allow him to eat, there's a certain cruelty there. You see this when it comes to animals as well. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working. And you can experience this in, I don't know, ancient times or not so ancient times, where you'd have slaves or workers working on that which they would never experience. There's something wrong about that. And the Torah is taking a stance against that. The Jewish tradition looks at that as being problematic. And thereby, it is an act of love to your worker that you are to allow him to eat while he's working. Excellent. Now, obviously, the caveats are he can't come with a truck, he can't bring home with him. The point here is that while he is working, he can engage in the product of his labor. Okay. Why is this such an important sort of pivotal stage before the next commandment that we are going to discuss, the next mitzvah, which is tzedakah? And these two are very much connected. Rav Hirsch's understanding of tzedakah is very much connected to his understanding of ownership. You understand ownership as it's a social moray, it's a social custom, the law of the land. Ownership is what is in my possession by dint of the legal system. But there are different conceptions of ownership. Rav Hirsch understands that you don't own the things you have. They belong to the creator. God created them. You are a custodian. You are holding on to them to use them in the correct way. And Rav Hirsch develops this more fully in our next mitzvah. But the reason why I think it's worth pointing out now is because his understanding of this commandment that you have to allow people to eat is a shift in the power dynamics at that very point where you think it's all yours. What do I mean by this? If the entire conception of understanding property, understanding things you own, ownership itself, and giving tzedakah, charity, gemilas chasodim, if it is based off a faulty notion of ownership, as far as Rav Hirsch is concerned, you're going to misunderstand the entire conception. Ownership isn't that it's legally yours. For Rav Hirsch, you don't own your stuff in a way that it's yours, and you can do what you want with it. It's yours in the relationship to what its purpose is, its function. What he means by this is that if you're in this world for a purpose, things you engage in and things that you accumulate are supposed to be in line with that purpose. There's no such thing as, I need to hoard it. Everything should be in line with your highest goal. In which case, and obviously we're talking about the levels of ideals, but what is the point where the ego threatens to take over? What is the point, and you see this pattern play itself out continuously in Rav Hirsch's sort of symbolic lenses that he lays to bear on commandments, at the very point where you think it's all yours is when you're picking your crop. More so, when you're hiring a person to pick your crop, that is when the ego threatens to take over. And yeah, this is mine. I am hiring people. They are working for me to gain my produce that I own. This is the point where that faulty, let's call it, conception of ownership threatens to take over. Because Rav Hirsch describes that a Jew's or any human being's role in this world is to use what he has been given. The metaphor he uses is a stream. A stream is supposed to pass on. And this connects to his understanding of creation and the creation narrative and how this is a pattern of giving and mankind's role in this pattern or this chain of love and giving. Mankind is supposed to give to the next stage, is supposed to be using his products, using that which he owns in line with his highest ideal. So if we rewind, you're picking your crop. Worse than that, you're hiring a person to pick your crop. This is when you really think it's yours. And at that very moment, you see the person working for you eating because he can. Once again, a reminder that it's not yours. Not a reminder in like some sort of nasty knock on the door that it's not really yours, but no, a reminder that that you have a higher self. You have a higher ideal. The notion of ownership that it's mine and I get to hoard it, that's secular. That's disconnected from your religious identity. Your religious identity is the things that you have are to be used in line with a higher purpose. And just to segue slightly to the next episode, this fits in line with Rav Hirsch's conception of ownership. The way he phrases it, you only own it when you've given it. Now, this often sounds like a bit of a cliche. There's a story with that Rabbi Sacks says, or with Moses Montefiore, where someone said to him, how much do you own? And he said, I don't know, 300,000 pounds. And then Montefiore, that obviously not, you clearly have far more than that. And he said, wait, you asked how much do I own or how much do I have in my possession? When it's mine is when I've given it. And that sounds very beautiful. But Rav Hirsch gives philosophical teeth to this idea. He has a functionalist conception of ownership. It's yours when you've lived out its function. If you haven't, you've left it stagnant, and like a river that isn't flowing, it becomes a pool, it becomes a sludge, it becomes a swamp. You own something when it becomes, when you've used it in its correct function. Your money, your possessions, they are there for a reason. You are supposed to be using them in their correct function. Otherwise, you've created a dam in the river rather than allowing the river to flow. And he parallels this to the self. You only become a self when you are using your self in its proper function. Otherwise, you're less than a self. Your stuff that you own and you're hoarding, it's not yours on the religious level because it belongs to God, but it's not yours on that deeper sense of the word because you're not using it in line with its function. Now, of course, there's a certain paradox there. You don't have it anymore. Correct. But once again, the conception of ownership itself is very abstract. You think something's yours because you're holding it. That doesn't work. It's a legal conception. So the very notion of ownership is, you have philosophers like John Locke trying to ground ownership in something more. Like, you've built it, you took it, you developed it, you put your... But ownership itself is always going to be abstract. But the Jewish conception of ownership is when you've used it, at least Rav Hirsch's understanding, is when you've used it in line with its proper function. So to recap our point, this particular mitzvah, why is there a mitzvah, an act of love, to allow your workers to eat while they're working? Yes, for them, obviously, but for yourself as well. At a reminder of that pivotal moment, and this idea plays itself out continuously, at the very point where you think it's yours, where you think it's like mine, you experience others partaking in it as they are working, as a reminder to the self, not just a reminder once again that you write it down or you say it out loud. You experience it in a visceral way. Your very being is watching the people you are paying to pick your crop, which is yours. They are partaking, they are eating. And that is a healthy reminder to you about your purpose and your mission in relationship to your things. Next week, or next episode, we are going to discuss tzedakah, gemilas chasadim. Until then, I'm Simi Lana, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast. Have a great week.